Is this thing on?
All right, let's get this show on the road.
Okay.
The Coffee and Garbage Show!
That was high energy for Alec. Hey.
Episode number 44.
No.
43.
Is it 43? All right. 43. You good?
Made you look. Hello, everybody. I feel like a Trader Joe's employee right now.
With you look my like shirt. A Trader Joe's employee.
Yeah, I feel like I'm ready
coming
to
coming to you me. Live from the sunny south. It's Alec Lacasse. What's the deal with this shirt, man?
All right, so I was making a YouTube video today, and I decided I was going to go to Salvation Army and get an item. I won't ruin the story. No, I'll tell you. It was just a spatula, and I was going to sharpen it up and use it as a carving knife. And so I went to the store, and I saw the shirt while I was there, and I was filming. I just said, you know, wouldn't it be funny if I bought the shirt and then I showed up in the next frame with the shirt on? And yeah, it's like, actually I got a new wallpaper as well.
That's perfect. Flamingos.
It's so big.
Yeah. You can put two of you in there. Two for one price. Just carry your wife around.
I'm floating.
I could fit my wife in here. And two of my wives in here. If I can clone my wife. Two of my wives, yeah. I only have one. I promise. That's professional. I hit the microphone. What are we even doing here?
I don't know. We're doing podcast number 42 and...
42?
Yeah. 43.
43.
We're back at it. Full circle. Okay. This is going to be a theme for our show, the full circle. But anyway, what have you been up to?
I have been just crazy, keeping myself occupied, making a carving every morning. And what was at one point when I first started out, a 2-hour endeavor or 3-hour endeavor, you know, usually done by 10, done by 11. Has become an all-day pursuit. Making YouTube videos takes forever. Because then there's a little distraction, and then you come back to it, and you have to finish it, and then you have to edit it. And by the end of the day, all you've done is made one carving and a YouTube video, and that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how easy you try to make your editing. And I'm addicted. I can't stop. I want to stop, but I can't stop. It's so fun.
It can be fun when you're not stressed out.
Well, even when it's not fun, it's crack. It's like crack cocaine. I keep taking hits of this YouTubing.
For some reason, it gets in you, and it occupies your mind 24 hours a day. And what's even after you think you made a good video, what's next one? What's the next one now?
Yes.
There's no rest. There's no rest. So... just be you.
It's a little bit like I imagine a drug where you wake up and the first thing you think about is, do I have any more? Do I have more at home somewhere, you know, stowed away? It's like I wake up and I think I need to check my YouTube. I wonder how my YouTube is doing. Are there new comments? You know, even the negative ones, everything is like energy. It's like I keep having to check it. Like, oh, someone said I'm boring. Oh, do I pin it? Do I pin that comment or do I delete it and pretend it never happened? And it's just a whole other world.
Here's my advice for a young man like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I got to the point, well, my dumb phone experiment from the summer is not changing. I'm keeping it.
Good for you. Good for you.
That way you don't check.
Why?
Why? Because it's so freeing and relaxing to only have a telephone. No social media pressure. I'll talk about social media when it's my turn. But yeah, the pressure of checking and trying to not feed your ego, but you're trying to please people, I think, is more than anything. You're trying to please people. So when you receive negative, then it eats you up and ruins your day.
Right.
So it's like your wife, you're waking up and just gives you a big insult and okay, bye. You're so ugly. I don't know why I married you.
God, would I told you about that?
No, I'm just assuming it had to come. Yeah.
I sent a comment to my wife. She does say that to me. She says it to me a lot and it hurts. And I tell her it hurts, but she keeps saying it. Here's a comment that I read off of YouTube to my wife. I sent it to her. It says, dude, you married all caps way above your class. Seriously, love the way you work. And I sent it to my wife and she said, rude, not true. And she was like defending me, but she's doing that because she knows that I'm very sensitive.
It hurts your heart. It hurts your heart.
Yes. And I want to be beautiful too. And I can't be.
Well, ugh, your skin will
turn it to crap.
Your skin will thicken up.
Anyway,
tell me about your videos.
I'd rather do like an NPR songwriter's interview and then just be like, this song I wrote about my friend breaking up with his girlfriend. Okay.
Well, I called you outside of the restaurant.
For this happening? Next one. I've been listening to this this podcast where they interview musicians, and I won't say what it is because I'm going to crap on it. I hate the podcast for one reason. It's perfect. This is why I hate it. It's perfect in every way. The format, the warmth of the interview. The guy doesn't actually talk in the interview. The interviewer doesn't talk. He just focuses on the guest. He asks the questions off tape and then records the answers. That. Love it. Love it. Yep. It's very professional.
Yep. Very documentary style.
Yeah, but then why does he choose to show up with his mic and just do this long monologue in between every question? This long,
you know, when I was working in the songwriting world, a great man came to me and told me this story, and I'll read it off this paper. When you were born, you were no longer aware of what you were and what you were not. And the greatness.
And he has this like put on like accent, like, oh, I hate it. It just rubs me the wrong way. Just give me the guy I'm trying to listen to the interview. Give me the interview. Anyway, sorry. That what I've been up to otherwise, I built a deck for the sauna because, well, I actually had to get talked off of a proverbial deck cliff by myself, my wife, you, my buddy John Bertolini, old Italian builder friend who built the studio with me. He and you both said that I was trying to get a little too, I don't know, maybe I was getting carried away with the idea of making a dock that went over, cantilevered over the hill and was like another deck. And both of you guys pointed out, you already have a deck right next to that deck that you, it's much bigger. Who needs a second deck? That's tiny for a sauna.
I believe I talked you into more of an entrance deck than a...
Correct.
It's like you wanted to build a deck on the back of your shed.
Yeah, great. Well, why? Who are you going to do it? In my head, I'm like, I use it. Have coffee. Yeah, but no one's going to. So I decided, my wife actually was the final word, and she said, why are you doing that? And I said, I'm not. I'm done. I'm not doing it. I'm just going to build the deck around the front. And I was actually just going to put a step right at the front. And then you said, no, just do your deck if you're going to put that work into it. And so,
very nice.
Very nice.
Yeah,
my shed like next to the shed.
You can walk right across now from your other deck area.
Yep.
And there's a nice little spot for your chainsaw carved bear in the corner,
which I will not make because I feel like it would suck, and I feel like I couldn't. I don't know. I want one of your bears, man. Ah.
I want you to tell me about your carvings of the week.
That's right.
You've been out there. He's been out there. He's been being Mr. Creative and trying to prove a point. Now he's kind of really beaten on that point and saying, don't buy any tools. Go to your Salvation Army. But you talk, not me.
No, you talk. Well, what started as a challenge from my brother. My brother said, you should try making carvings with really just basic stuff like spoons and knives and stuff like that. And I thought it was dumb, but then I was like, had no other better ideas. So I started doing it. And but then the more I thought about it, I thought this is kind of perfect because, you know, actually, I started the first video with a butter knife. And after the video, I thought, you know what? This is pretty doable. Like, you can actually do a lot with just a knife, right? Like whittling, you can do, like, you know, this, you can do a lot with just a knife. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of like, I was proving to myself, I don't need this wall full of tools. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm of the mindset, oh, I need more tools. I need to get a tool that does this. I need a tool that does this. And luckily I have a lot of tools, but I still need more. And so this really talked me out of that a little bit. And brought me back to this place that you were in a little while ago, which was like, no, you just need simpler stuff. You don't need more stuff. You need to simplify your life, not make it more complicated. So,
oh well. So I've been to a point. It. To a point, as a living, as a professional, you should have the tools that help you create the easiest. But your challenge was outside of this professional woodcarver world. This is just. Challenge at that. You would not want to go spend the rest of your life with a spatula and a spoon and a railroad spike.
I wouldn't carve ever again. No.
You would never. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
No, yeah. I would never carve. I was thinking that today while I was working. Like, this is such a horrible, it's a horrible experience for me to make things with this crap. But it's,
you did it.
But it's fun at the end when I think, you know what? You can do it. You can do it.
Yes.
With just anything laying around that you can sharpen up, you know?
Shipwrecked on a deserted island. Yep.
Yeah.
Only got a spoon. No excuse not to be a woodcarver.
Yes, yes.
Just file that baby up on a rock.
Yeah, I guess if you have a file. Oh, yeah, you have a rock. There you go.
There you go. But anyway, very interesting. Very, very fun to watch you go along in making these videos.
And, well, you definitely inspired it, you know, for sure. You were the one. Well, so I originally planned on doing this. I think I brought it up last week, and now I'm on a roll. So,
yeah. Are you going to continue for eternity?
The challenges, I don't know. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you've done it very well.
Yeah. How many things can you carve with? Yeah.
Well, it depends. I don't know. You want to make carvings to sell? Or you want to make YouTube videos on challenges? You can be the challenge guy. That could be your shtick.
Yeah.
But anyway. Mm-hmm. Very good.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, I like how that deck turned out, though. That was nice.
Thanks.
Are you going to put a railing on that?
I don't know. I haven't decided. Probably not, because it's more of a drop off towards the center of the sauna. The side is not as much.
Yep.
So if you fall off of that, I mean, it's not going to hurt as much.
No.
And we don't really drink, so.
There you go.
If we were big party people, then I'd definitely build a rail.
Yeah. But cool. Well, before we talked about the social media, remember my great revelation of 3 weeks ago where I said, I'm off Instagram.
Yes.
And I said, and I felt great.
Yeah.
And then something happened. Someone said, oh, you do wood carving. Can you show me? Actually, two people said that. Can you show me what you do? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You can go watch a 45-minute video, I guess. Right. So anyway, I went back on Instagram just to have that portfolio back.
Right.
And, I went into my message. I'm not sure how your messages work, but mine don't go directly to me unless I follow you or have interacted with you in the past. Yeah. So I have message requests, and I even have hidden message requests. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But anyway, today I went by mistake. I clicked on that. And I saw messages upon messages upon messages, and my heart just sank. I just felt sick. So above and beyond emails that I get and try to answer when I can.
Yeah.
Now I opened up this and back up and I got piles of messages. And I'm like, I don't have people to do this. This is, yeah. So I feel the same way as I did before I went off again. And I tried to stay out just on the fringe of it and just kind of post here and there and like some stuff from my friends and stuff. But, ugh.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
But anyway, I definitely cannot answer all the emails and messages and stuff. It's too much. It's too much.
Right.
And for what? I should do a live stream on my YouTube channel once a week or once every couple of weeks. Just give me your questions here. One hour, same question. Right. So I don't repeat myself over and over and type. Next guy, yep. Same answer. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. I'm back on Instagram for now. And I'm just trying to keep that at arm's distance. But if someone says, hey, show me what you do, well, this is what I do. And that was nice to have it all there, right?
Right.
And without a smartphone, it's not like you take out your phone and show pictures. Mm. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. I have a question. What have you been up to this week?
Oh. I have been in Pumpkin World. You say Pumpkin Land? Pumpkin Land. So every year, just kind of like the same as my snowman, I like to make a tutorial on some form of pumpkin, right?
Yeah.
And I had a heck of a time this year. I have beside me 10 carved pumpkins. I'm holding them up for the camera. There, look at that. And there's more. So anyway, I struggled. I could see what I wanted in my head, but being not a drawer, I had to carve. So each one successionally, each one had little minor differences, and I just kind of kept trying to improve it, but also at the same time trying to make it easy to carve. Mm. So as where when I started out, my big one that I just dropped on the floor here, it's like,
yeah,
this big one here, mm-hmm. if you're trying to just stick with a knife, had so much wood removal that like even my arm hurt, and it'd be like an hour and a half tutorial. So that was too big. So then I tried to go shorter, a little bit shorter, but still out of 2 inches. So it still was too big. And then I wasn't happy with it anyway, because I was supposed to have straw on the, the idea is a pumpkin and a scarecrow clash, right?
Right.
So I wanted to have straw for hair, but then the straw wasn't looking very straw-like. So then I thought, well, I'll start incorporating straw bangs. I had to add bangs.
Okay? That's so good.
But then the bangs and the eyes and the way that I did the hair, again, was a lot of work to put into a small tutorial.
Can you bring him up closer?
I can bring him up. Where is
he? Oh, I love him so much. I love him. Okay.
You love him. So then with the bangs, I thought, well, what if I give him whiskers?
Oh.
Whiskers and a cigar.
I want them.
And then I thought, okay, so now cute. I'm just getting overboard. The eyes are difficult enough in the hair and everything. So what if I made the no-see-em eyes and drooped the hair down a bit like that and have secret eyes? But then I thought, that's fun. But anyway, long story short, did another one here. I went back to the whiskers. I had to have those whiskers back. All right. And then the one I finally did, and all this to say is what I've been up to is I made 2 videos, a carving video and also a painting video on this fella.
Oh, I love one.
And this is what I ended up with. And I filmed and edited last night.
That is so good.
But that's cute, eh? So I'm happy with that now. But this is the process. This was 3 solid days of carving. I have 10 painted, carved and painted pumpkins to make 1 video. And anyway, I felt like saying in the video, if you make this pumpkin and you start selling them, you owe me a coffee, because I spent three of my holiday days carving these to make this tutorial, which I'm gonna get jacked back. But anyway, speaking of which,
that's why you're the best.
I'm not the best, but I don't want to put out what I don't like, so that's why I had to keep working until I was happy and I could live with it.
That's what I mean about you. You are so particular that, you know, I will just, you know, I won't even necessarily think about anything when I'm going into it, and then I'll finish it and I'll just throw it away. I don't even want to look at it until months later. But you will set it up somewhere where you can look at it, and then you think about it rationally. You go, how can I make this better? And you make another one. And you look at that one and you go, how can I make this one better? And you do that over and over, and you get 10 iterations, and then you get this awesome piece that has so much character. And it's so good. I'm serious. It's impressive. Your dedication.
That's the goal. But
yeah. That's why you're the man, Doug. That's why I'm just taking notes.
But anyway, like I said, after all that, you know, this morning you talked about your comments on YouTube. This morning I woke up and to a comment like, this guy is so obnoxious now. You need a whole raft of tools to do his carvings. No, thank you. So he was watching another video where I used a gouge and a V tool.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow.
Anyway.
Jerk.
But that's how it is. Other than that, organizing. I've been cleaning up. I think I showed you. I've been going crazy and just simplifying and organizing again, like I do all the time. But now I'm feeling at peace in my carving and my painting areas where I don't have too much clutter. Behind me is a lot of tools, but the tools here for like even the pumpkins is so minimal. It just feels good. But one thing I should talk about is on these videos that I was editing was that I edited them on my old computer. And so I'm going to make a challenge to myself out loud to you and the audience that the next video I'm going to edit on my brand new laptop, because I thought my computer was going to blow up last night. The old house computer here, it was making noises like you've never heard before. And only because I'm too lazy to learn how to make a video on this laptop. And so that is my goal. And next video, going to make it on the laptop. Hopefully, maybe not.
See.
That's really what I've been up to. I don't have too much more on the go other than I'm not sick anymore. That last week, that took a beating on that one. And we're back in order. But I had some holiday days this week, only because they forced me to, because I haven't taken last year's holidays. So I've made pumpkins.
Nice.
That's about it.
So, I mean, you made a lot of pumpkins.
I made a lot of pumpkins.
Yeah, you did. And they're detailed.
Are you drinking coffee?
Yeah, I am. I'm drinking, you?
Yeah, I got nice freshly ground. Actually, I shouldn't brag about it. I think it's 8 o'clock coffee. I don't know if you have that in the States or not, but it's kind of like a whole bean coffee, but it's not like
We have 8 o'clock.
Yeah, it's not some hipster roasted coffee. It's just beans.
That was my grandma's favorite coffee.
Yeah, it's good though. I don't mind it.
Mm-hmm.
So all that to say, to thank our coffee buyers this week, and they are nobody. Just kidding.
No,
they're all good. But American businessman was at the pier of a small coastal Mexican village when a small boat with just one fisherman docked. Inside the small boat were several large yellowfin tuna. The American complimented the fisherman on the quality of his fish and asked how long it took to catch them. The fisherman replied that it only took a little while. The American then asked why didn't he stay out longer and catch more fish. The fisherman said he had enough to support his family's immediate needs. The American then asked, but what do you do with the rest of your time? And the fisherman said, I sleep late, fish a little, play with my children, take a siesta with my wife, Maria, stroll into the village each evening where I sip wine and play guitar with my amigos. I have a full and busy life, senor. The American scoffed. I am a Wharton MBA and could help you. You should spend more time fishing and with the proceeds buy a bigger boat. With the proceeds from your bigger boat, you could buy several boats. Eventually, you would have a fleet of fishing boats. Instead of selling your catch to a middleman, you would sell directly to the processor, eventually opening up your own cannery. You would control the product, processing, and distribution. You would need to leave this small coastal village and move into Mexico City, then LA, and eventually New York City, where you will run your expanding enterprise. The fisherman asked, "But how long will this take?" To which the American replied, 15 to 20 years. "But what then?" said the Mexican. The American laughed. "What then? That's the best part. When the time is right, you would announce an IPO and sell your company stock to the public and become very rich. You would make millions." "Millions? Then what?" said the Mexican. The American said, "Well, that's the best part. You would then retire, move to a small coastal fishing village where you would sleep late, fish a little, play with your kids, take a siesta with your wife, and stroll into the village in the evenings where you could sip wine and play your guitar with your friends." Now, I'm sure we've all heard some version of that.
Yeah.
That is the topic today is what's our story? Where have we come from? Where are we going? And I was telling you the other day that it's so funny. When you start your little carving journey, you just want to keep spreading bigger. You got to start with a little small little circle of maybe just a knife, right? And then for me, it was, I'll start from the beginning. I watched a Gene Messer video. I had a bushcraft knife, probably a 4-inch blade, carved a little character with my bushcraft knife. And then I thought, well, I need a better knife. So I bought a proper carving knife. And I think it was a Denny or an OCC tool knife, just like Gene had, right? And then as we went on and bigger and better and started expanding the tool collection, started expanding the types of carving. We did the greenwood carvings, the spoons and the bowls. And then went to chainsaw and did some bears and mushrooms and bigger chainsaw carvings. We talked about stone carving last week. And we still might do some stone carving. And then the full circle comes back. And where I discovered where I'm at peace is in this clean, uncluttered desk, my whittling desk, carving tiny little pumpkins.
Yeah.
Oh, and the bark carving took over with all of its expanding tools and all these things you just accumulate. And anyway, what we were talking about was like, what would you tell your beginner self of carving? So any thoughts on that?
Oh, wow. Well, maybe I should just quickly
again.
Well, I guess I'll have to process it a little bit to think about it, but maybe let me just think about my contrasting journey. So I started out with a whittled boot from Smoky Mountain Woodcarver's beginner set. It was a knife, a Murphy knife, and then one of those little boots with a cutout with a little booklet that would show you how to turn it into a cowboy boot. And I loved that. That was awesome. Then I did the little dog that they had in the booklet a few months later. But then I started Googling wood carving on YouTube, and I found Ron Adamson, who had this time lapse, and he would do these realistic, I'd never seen this before, but he would do like realistic faces, and there would be I didn't know what cottonwood was. I didn't know what the wood was, but it was reddish kind of tan wood, and it made this sound when he cut through it, and it was sort of like crispy and the video quality sort of not the best, but it sort of drew you in because it was like, where is this guy from? It's so where they have cameras that are this bad and not even just so bad, but just so it added to the mystique of the mountain man. He seemed like a mountain man. He lived, you know, kind of in the forest next to a beautiful river, and he was very blonde and had these piercing blue eyes and looked like a Swedish, like one of those like lumberjack commercial guys. And turns out he was a lumberjack at one time. And, you know, when you're 12 and you see that, you go, oh, I want to be like that guy.
Yeah.
I want to be a manly man. And so I did try these sort of little faces, and I wasn't very good at it, but I remember that's why I kept doing it, is I was seeing that I wasn't good at it. then I kept doing that thing of like, what can I do to make this better? And so I'd start on a new one. And then I noticed that incrementally they'd get a little bit better. And mm-hmm. so for maybe 3 years, I thought, you know, this one's just a touch better. And then maybe I'd take a few steps back, but mostly it was getting to where it's looking a little bit more like a face. And so I eventually decided that I was going to try and sell my stuff. And that was a good experience, because then I could kind of justify, as a kid, spending all this time, you know, making these carvings. Right. And that
my parents would get... 1 second.
Yeah.
When you were learning, were you obsessed with carving?
Oh yeah. I don't remember anything else from that, from ages 12 to 14, other than carving.
Because
even a
commenter commented on my face when you showed your first carving compared to your whatever 3 months later, a year later. It's like the skill acquired in the short time was amazing. I thought he had to be just obsessed with it.
Yeah. Well, I think I just liked it. I liked it a lot. And I felt like it was the coolest thing. I hadn't really gotten into music yet. And after music happened, it was always like a battle between music and carving. It was always like, mm-hmm. which one am I going to do? I could play music all day, but I know I need to carve. Then carving almost became like my day job, like my 9-to-5 job for a little while. And I always felt like I should be doing that instead of, trying to learn bad riffs on the guitar that I was subpar at. But in those early years of carving, it didn't feel like that at all. It was very much like, this is everything that I care about is wood carving. I kept a wood carving in my backpack going to class. And I would just sort of like, I have to get my math. Where's my math homework? I can't find it. I'm in math class. I sit the wood carving down on the table, you know, hoping people would look at it. And my teacher sees it. And it's like a little statue of Jesus. And then, you know, she's, you know, a Christian. So she starts crying. And I'm like, yes, this is great. The best possible case scenario. You know what I mean? Like just a little selfish kid. But all I cared about was I just wanted people to see it and I wanted to do it. And I loved it. And I mean, that was all I cared about. But then, once I sold something, I found that there was a whole nother thing to that. Like, oh, this is, I can make stuff and then people will buy it. This is fun. So then I started making more things. And then eventually I did like a little, like people kept saying, you need to sell these more, like sell more of them. And I just was like, I think that first time was a fluke. I don't really want to mess with this right now. And they were like, no, you know, and my mom's friends would buy one occasionally. And I just felt like, does that even count? That doesn't count. After some time I was like, this is probably what I'm going to do for my work. Like if I can have fun making stuff and then sell it, then I'm just going to do that. And then, you know, some teaching opportunity came at this little woodcraft shop. The woodcraft shop that I went to in town was like, you know, asking about why I was in there. Like this 16-year-old kid is in here every other weekend. Every other weekend I was in there buying a new tool or two or three tools. And so I showed them with my little flip phone, you know, what I was working on. And they said, you know, well, you're teaching, you teach. And I was like, yeah. Oh, big time. Yeah. I don't think I'd ever taught anything. And so I did a class and it was probably awful, but I worried myself sick over it. You know, I just fretted about it, but I also, you know, it wasn't like a dread. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get to do it. And then I did it and it went well. And, you know, in the sense of like, I got through it. It probably wasn't a good, again, it wasn't probably good. But, and then I thought, you know what? I like teaching a lot. Like this is, I really, as much as I got sick over it, I loved the process of standing up in front of people and this, you know, it felt like a little bit of like, like theater too. Like I was up there and I was doing what I wanted to do. And so it was just all of that kind of combined to make what my career is now. And I just kept kind of following little gigs and opportunities. I really didn't fully know what it was going to look like, but I just kept saying yes to these little, you know, do you want to do this here and carve, do a class here and maybe demonstrate here. And And I just did that for my majority of my childhood. And I was just kind of always known as like the wood carving boy. So
that's right. Well, it's funny you say that because at the show last week, or was it 2 weeks ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I was standing with strangers outside of your booth there. And the guy beside me was talking and going, this guy has been here since he was a little kid.
Really?
Yeah. But in contrast, my journey was trying everything out there and trying to find my place. But you nailed it early and went straight on your path then, pretty much.
Well, no, because there were other I kind of oversimplified it. I didn't want to make it boring, but it already probably became that.
What other kinds of carvings have you, or styles have you tried to realize where you want to be still at this time?
Yeah, well, I started to, people would commission me to do things, and I was very much like in my comfort zone. And I also thought, you know, I'm not really that good at this yet, and I can get better at this. So I kept doing faces. But then, you know, someone would say, can you carve me a cow? And then early on, I started saying yes to a lot. And I got, you know, one or two people who were just like, can you carve my face? And if that wasn't a red flag in and of itself, I decided that, you know, I would maybe present them with the piece midway through so they could see, you know, the progress, try and give them an update, you know, cause I didn't know what I was doing. And then they would say, I would like to come and see the piece. And, you know, I'm not particularly happy with the way it's coming out. My nose isn't that big, or my forehead is much smaller than that, or whatever. So I'd bring it over. They'd come over rather, and I'd show them the piece, and they would be like, you know, looks nothing like me. And I'd just be like, well, it's not, in all fairness, it's not done, right? I mean, it's like 30% through. So I started hitting these walls, and that directed me out of doing this sort of commission stuff. And then I started thinking, maybe I don't want to just take whatever. So then I get 50 commissions at a show or 30 commissions at a show, and I'd say no to like 70% of them, you know. People would ask me to carve their totem pole, or repair something outside, or do like, you know, a carving of a dolphin in their front yard, or, you know, their grandma, like my grandma used to bend over like this, and we just want something to remember her by, that the way she just sort of arched her back. And sort of like, maybe she's playing, I don't know if she's planting something. And I would always be like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't know how to do that. It scared me. Yeah. But then I got a commission from a lady, at an art show, who was interested in me carving the face of her dogs. And I was told that these people were very wealthy and that they were, you know, owned some big company. So I Googled their names and found out that they had donated some stuff to so-and-so and made this college, did a lot, you know, very like, generous people. And I thought, you know what, I've got to try it. And if I'm going to try it, they can actually afford to pay for it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to experiment. I'm going to try a dog, and I'm going to try their dog. So I did that, and it was very stressful, and it was hard. And I prolonged that project for 2 years. I spent going back and forth and just kind of like nibbling on it, just taking a little chunk out and then leaving for like 3 days, and then coming back in another 2 hour or 3 hour chunk. And it drove these poor people crazy because they waited 2 years with all this scaffolding and all these, you know, for like 3 hours a day, just this. And then I'd leave, and then I'd come back, and I was just sort of like, ultimately looking back, I was just scared. I didn't want to make the wrong step. I didn't want to ruin this expensive tree, and I didn't know what I was doing. So try to get their dog to come around so I could steal glances at the dog. No, look here, puppy. Hey, hey. And then it would just turn around. And also it was try to use pictures, but it didn't right capture it. And that kind of led me to think, I'll try it again, but probably won't be my thing. So I said no to chainsaw carvings a little bit less, but still nothing ever really came through. And so I mostly focused on people, smaller things. And then, but I found this kind of this middle ground with portraits, busts of people in like life size. And so that was like something I started to do more of. And, And then eventually I just started getting a few little gigs here and there for chainsaw. And I met Abby in Kentucky. And, that was definitely something that made a big difference for me. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, to be fair, your collaborations with Abby are not your typical chainsaw carvings.
Those, yeah.
That's high art, right?
I don't really know.
Yeah, that's amazing.
People definitely, you know, Abby's so swift with what he does. I think what he does, yeah, he brings it to art level, you know, and I just try and stay in my lane. I focus on the faces. So,
well, you have the faces probably more than Abby. It's a good collaboration, is what it is.
Yeah, so, yeah. I hope so. I think so.
Where where does the rock come in? Because here's another thing. It was we were going to, or I picked up some rocks from you, and I'm going to carve these rocks with the intention of, this is the only rock I'm going to carve. I don't want to go down the rock carving path either, but I want to try it.
Yeah.
But how did you start rock carving?
Well, that goes back to my first hero guy. Ron Adamson was, one day I was perusing his website as like a teenager, maybe 14 years old, and he had these beautiful snow leopards that were, I mean, perfectly carved, every hair looked like, you know, on the prowl, sort of like looking around a corner, around a tree branch or something like, and it was, I mean, just so lifelike. And then I read the description, it said stone. And I just put my hands down up in the air. And I was like, there's no way, I'm not, you know, like unattainable. This guy's carving in stone now. What, you know, it's bad enough that he can carve like that. Now he has to carve it in stone. And so I gave up. I mean, I never even really looked into it because, you know, I did get the chance to talk to him though. I called him on the phone. I worked up the courage after maybe 4 years of watching his videos, and I asked him about it, and he would go to a guy who in Utah who would supply him with the stone. And I just thought, well, I don't know. I'm never going to get to Utah. So, but I was at an art show and I met this guy, and he said, oh yeah, Alabaster, Michigan. That's where all the alabaster, you just find it anywhere. You throw a stone, it's probably hitting alabaster. The stone you throw is probably alabaster. You know, everything's alabaster up there. And so, yeah. So then I found out that there was also a diamond Michigan that, sure enough, full of diamonds. And so, no, but we did get these stones up there and bring them back. And sure enough, it's still impressive what he does. I mean, it blows my mind. But now that I understand that you can carve stone, it's like a little bit more, at least I can now understand how it can be done, you know, how you can carve something like that. So,
well, in the grand scheme of things, not that you have that many decades behind you, but what would you tell your younger self starting out in this craft?
Yeah.
What advice would you give yourself?
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I would probably, I guess I'm glad through that time of being like a semi-adult into the college years, I went in and out of semi-adult. Yeah. Like teenager. Yeah. I kept doing like college stuff and went in and out. And maybe I would have like given myself the extra confidence boost, you know, by just saying, hey, you don't need to do that. Just go keep carving. You know, I feel like I lost a lot of time, thinking that maybe, you know, this wouldn't work. Like in my mind, I felt like, really, you're gonna have a family and carve little faces in wood, and that's going to be your whole thing. And so I probably would have just really believed in myself a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I kind of doubted myself a lot as a teenager. And so I kept going, you know, I went to college and then I'd drop out. Then I go back. I did it like four times. And, maybe more. And then I would sit in my car and I would just think, oh, I just wish I was carving right now. This is a waste of time. I have to sit here for 3 hours and study in my car until I, you know, eat lunch, whatever. And I have to go back in here. I hated it. What about you?
Yeah.
Tell me what would you do differently than you?
Well, the problem with me is that even if I told myself as when I started carving, advice from today is I probably wouldn't believe myself. And I probably still have to try everything.
Right.
But if you could just retain that first love and that first the simpleness of it all.
Yeah.
And don't try to be, you can't be everything. You can't be a chainsaw carver. You can't be a stone carver. You can't be a master of everything. Like, just enjoy the hobby and take it where, as far as they want to go. But if I had stayed, okay, for example, if I had stayed carving little caricatures, I would have saved maybe $10,000
yeah,
on all these little tangents and pursuits that were basically buy all the tools you need to do this project and then do it a few times. Like, that's not my thing. And move on to something else. Always looking for the next thing. Whereas if I had stayed in the original, I'd be a lot better. I would be happier, I think, or it's just my personality to always look for something else. Right. But anyway, just stay true to, look at Gene Messer. This is a question that has been on my mind for a long time because I asked Opera Man the same thing about staying. Remember I said staying in your lane, staying in your groove. Yeah. And if you could just stay in your groove, and that would be my advice. Like, stay in your groove where you are right now. It's funny, and I say that because you've been carving way longer than I have. But
we found out yesterday, 7 years is the difference.
No, my wife, she's on Facebook, and I guess Facebook shows you memories,
right?
Or from years past, like this is a reminder. Yeah. And she had a picture of one of my little carvings. And that said 9 years ago, and I can tell by the carving that I was a little bit into it. So I've probably been maybe carving almost a decade.
Yeah.
In total. But in that decade, like I said, I've tried 5 different forms of carving.
Right. Right.
And I'm basically right back where I am. Plus maybe the bark. I do enjoy the bark. I'm sticking with the bark, but,
yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. But anyway, like I said, that's the full circle thing. That's why I said simplicity is the other side of complexity. You got to get through and try everything, and then you end up on the other side, just where you were at the beginning. Only it's simple, and you're happier. So you have to find your groove and stick in it.
Yeah,
if you can. This is the problem with ADHD boys like us.
Oh yeah. So yeah. Well, you just kept thinking there's something else out there that you can. Give me that you need that you don't have yet. That's not, you know, then you go to look for that. And then before you know it, you're like, maybe it was back there where I had all this momentum and.
Yeah. Well, I tend to, my wife always says, I like to change things up all the time. That's why I'm constantly changing my room here and the furniture and everything. I just want different, always different change.
Right.
She says she's lucky that she's hung around this long, but haven't tried someone else.
Yeah. Right.
But, That's
funny. You know, there's this font on the window that, can you see it reflect on my face?
Yep. Oh, yeah, I see a little bright spot on my face.
I just keep writing. I write stuff on my windows, like with a sharp whiteboard marker, and I think it's like showing through the window.
Yep.
My face. Anyway, just so people are wondering.
If only I had that spot pinpoint, I could sneak over and write something that would show on your forehead.
Yeah, oh, really? Tell me more. What would you pick? I feel like that would really tell us a lot about you.
I better not say.
So anything else that we should add to that?
No, I just like to tie it all together with the big full circle. But how about the tools, though? You have, well, I'm looking at you, and I'll say this. Mm-hmm. Talking about full circle.
Yeah.
Started carving as a young boy, amassed this great amount of tools, which I have tool envy of. Old tools, new tools, nice tools.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just spent the last week carving with a railroad spike, a spatula, a spoon.
Right.
See?
I am depressed now. Yeah.
Full circle back to simplicity and.
Yeah.
Not that you would stay there.
No, I didn't. I didn't even think about it that way. But yeah, maybe that's true. Yeah, I can see that.
All right,
a little bit of a return to the beginning. So let's
put a pin in that and move on.
Yeah. Mailbag.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Mailbag.
And Dan media. Says,
and media.
Mail and media. This time.
Mail and media.
In one compact, concise package. Dan Richardson viewed episode 4 and wants us to know about a book called The Photographer's Eye. So we'll check that out. Thank you, Dan. Just wanted to say thanks for the suggestion. Kenneth says that he was fascinated, I'm assuming he's talking to you here, by the wonderful carving of a bear that you did, and tried to look up your shop. And they want to know if they can buy one of your bears.
Oh.
Yeah, they want to know if you're selling anything. Do you sell farmyard animals by any chance? The person's not able to figure out how to find your prices or anything. Anyway, he's from England. And so he's trying to come all the way from England to get one of your carvings. And he just, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but he can't find your shop.
Can't find it.
You're selling your stuff. Yeah.
There is no shop.
Yeah,
that's the answer. I don't know. I'm not even going to talk about it because we've talked about this on and off for a long time. But maybe one day there'll be a shop. For example, this week I happen to have 10 pumpkins. if this isn't the time for a shop, I'm not sure what it is. But we'll keep you posted if I ever open a shop.
Right.
All right. That's the back door, by the way. That's a little cheat into the coffee and carving show. We asked keep the Doug Linker YouTube separate from the cheated.
True. And just to be fair, I also don't have anything available really like to buy as far as carvings go. So neither of us are like stunning business studs right now as far as selling carvings. But Carter says, hey, Doug and Alec, I love the show and the YouTube videos. He's recently bought a 12-inch Craftsman bandsaw and wondered if we had any tips. He's watched your videos on scroll saws and bandsaws, but wanted to dig deeper. Thank you, and keep up the good work. Oh, wow. Tips for the bandsaw?
I don't have bandsaw tips at all. I've only done a video on the scroll saw. I've just to answer the question of, can you carve a little rough out with a scroll saw? And to be fair, I never do.
No, me either.
I never do.
It's scary.
No.
Are you? I'm scared of the bandsaw.
No, it's not scary.
It's terrifying.
The bandsaw is one of the safest tools in the shop. But,
no way.
Oh, 100%.
Are you serious?
I'm deadly serious, yes.
I think
have
we
you used
fight
tools
about
before? No, this is. People always worry about my fingers getting too close. I've touched a bandsaw blade before and I pull my finger back. You don't tend to push your finger into a bandsaw blade. It's like, hey, out. It doesn't,
really?
I mean, you will cut yourself if you push it into. I'm just saying it's a safe tool compared to, say, a table saw, right? Or a miter saw.
Just touch
or it. Just even touch a grinder it. With the Lancelot attachment that everybody seems to cut their hands off with.
So you want to just touch it. Just do it.
Don't touch it. I'm not saying touch it. I'm saying it's one of the safest tools compared to other saws. But I have no tips. I rarely make rough outs because I like to... especially for the videos, I like to start with a block of wood.
Just a tip. That's all. That's my only advice. Just touch it.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Touch it. Touch it.
Wow.
I don't either. I'm sorry. I have nothing.
Sorry too.
Oh, I got one. Learn how your guides work. You know, you've got these little bars and things in there that keep the blade from wiggling around. And learn how to use those little guides and the little backstop, I don't know what they're called, the little bearing. Maybe someone in the comments can fill in my knowledge gaps here, but they're like bearings that keep the saw blade from going back and being pushed off the wheel. And all that good stuff. Yeah. Make sure and learn how to calibrate your saw. I don't know.
Yeah. Great tip, Alec. Read the manual. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. Or just watch some YouTube videos. I don't know. You don't want the blade to touch the guy. You don't want the blades to be like too stiff, like too rubbing up against those things too much.
The problem is, like, I have a couple of bandsaws. I have a big one in my big shop, and I have a little one right here in my carving room. And my little one will not accept thin blades. The smallest I can get on, like a 1/8 blade, I cannot keep a blade on that thing to save my life. It pops up. It just runs off the wheels. And I adjust it and finish. So I can only keep a 1/4 inch. So my rough outs are rough. They're just if I did one. So
right. No, but that's also good advice. Yeah. Very helpful.
Okay, move on.
Thank you, Carter. Sorry that we suck. Yeah. That's mail.
Well, closing out the mailbag, though. Listen. Song listen, if you guys have any, are you done? If you guys have any,
okay. So today I'm going to play for you a song that I wrote when I was 16 called "Save Your Words." Thanks for listening.
Oh boy. All I was going to say, coffeeandcarvingshow@gmail.com. Send us your questions and suggestions so we can maintain a mailbag. If not, we've taken the hint.
Yeah. If you don't like us anymore, then please don't send us an email. But if you do currently like us, then feel free to give us a message and say, "Hey, how you doing?" But if you don't like us, no hate mail, please.
Okay. He's guitar happy today, this boy. Media.
Yes, this email from Google. It says, "Hey, Alec, thanks for signing in to your Mac device. Please confirm this Google account is right."
Hey, Alec, those emails are the ones I told you to take care of 2 weeks ago. And they're still there.
Oh.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do vaguely remember something about that.
I called you specifically to take care of those emails. But
you did, didn't you?
I sure did. Because they drive me crazy. They drive me crazy. I want a clean inbox. Yep.
Wow, sounds like somebody's got to clean their inbox. Oh. I really have been not doing a lot of media. What about you? I don't know. Do you have anything? I don't have anything.
Well, I really had to search to figure out what I've been watching. And if I go through my YouTube history, I did go on a little tangent with this fella, Caleb Simpson, Caleb C-A-L-E-B Simpson. And basically it was just a show that he makes videos for alternative living. But what he does a lot of is I guess the reason I like it is it's so foreign to me, but yet I really like it, is this alternative living. Basically, he's the guy that does all those shorts on YouTube with "Hey, how much do you pay rent in New York City? Show me your apartment." You ever see those? Mm. "Show me your apartments."
What's his name? Caleb?
Caleb Simpson.
On YouTube?
On YouTube. And
that sounds fantastic. Fun.
People, there's some people that live in like my closet, you know, tiny little apartments to huge, beautiful apartments with balconies over the city, and it's just really fun to see the diversity of the apartment in New York.
Yeah,
city.
I'm looking at
and
it
the
now.
And the it's price cool. points. The price points are crazy. Obviously, that's why they live in closet-sized apartments, some of them,
right. Because
who can afford to live there? But anyway, he does other stuff too, but that's really kind of focused in on, because I have no city experience whatsoever.
Right. So these apartments, like a $7,000 apartment, and it looks pretty small. Some of them are really tiny. So
yeah, they're cool. Not, you don't get much for your money, but that was fun for me. That was my little tangent, but... that's about it for me. So if you have nothing to add,
I mean, then all I can think of is really, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, but all I got is like, I've been listening to a lot of, like old, like Western music, like, I don't know, kind of like, Marty Robbins and like these older, like 60s Western kind of like cowboy songs. I drive around in my Jeep and pretend that I'm a cowboy.
Stampede, you know, this is a little a joke that my daughter plays on me all the time. Is my hatred for country music is so great. So she'll sneak in a little song or change the radio station and see how long it takes me to go, what? Turn that off. Turn that off.
What's wrong with nothing wrong with country?
I don't know. I never took to it.
Even the now, older stuff?
To be fair, I can take some of the old guys, like the old Johnny Cashes.
Yeah,
for sure. I like him. Yeah. But
I'm not talking about. Drove down to the bar with my baby and me on a motorcycle riding as fast as I can see. Yeah. I'm damn drunk and now I need a ride home and I drive drunk and I kill a family of 12. It's like,
are we going to get copyright infringement for that tune?
Sorry, that's a song by Luke Brambles.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right, folks.
I'm in jail, just my daughters and me. We were all drunk driving on the freeway.
Well, Alex sings us out this week. Thanks, guys, for hanging out with us again. And, if you like the show, share it with your friends. Spread the word. Get it out there. And, that's about all I got to say.
No good lawyer, send him my way, because I'm stuck in here and I have to say that I hate it. Help me if you can, I'm stuck in a prison with my two daughters. Help me if you can, I'm stuck in prison with my two daughters. And we need water here with my two daughters. Take your vitamins, guys. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Are you still there?